The Journey to the Ultimate. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. The Journey to the Ultimate. I like reading the newspapers and magazines and listening to television and watching movies. And all of them seem to say there is an infinite wisdom, there's an infinite awareness available to anybody, and anybody can have it. All you have to do is to go within. We have just seen Obama win the presidency, not by the squeak of his nose, but by the hair off his toes. He went the whole route. He was by acclamation brought in as the president. Now, are we looking for a savior, an angel, someone who's going to do some magic for us? Or are we finally aware that when a person goes within, we recognize it? When a person listens to the divine within and guides his life by the divine within, we recognize it. We recognize this in all great leaders, in all great people, in all great beings. Now, did you notice how quickly and easily everyone took to this new man? How he had a spell, a charm, a charisma that just won everyone over. It won people over who didn't really care about elections, who didn't care about politics, who didn't care about government in any way. They just said, ah, there is a real father figure who is going to guide me to be my highest and my best. Now, I've been looking at different publications recently, publications about promoting different speakers and different philosophies, and I marvel at all of them. It doesn't matter what the philosophy is, or what the speaker is, or what the religion is, or what the area is of their scientific background. They all say one thing. If you want the answer, go within yourself. Now there's a lady, Miriam Williamson, who is Williams, whatever, and she is offering a course in being able to read at a tremendous speed, to be aware of the knowledge that's within you, the inspiration that's within you, the accomplishments of 20,000 books and more, to have absolute wonderful knowledge inside of you. And she teaches you to go within. Now, then they're having a large convention up in San Francisco and Los Angeles, and these conventions are going to be powerhoused by outstanding leaders in the religious and philosophical community, metaphysical community. And all of these people, in all of their high-toned information, and in their high pitch that gets you all excited, there's always the little statement that comes the second or third paragraph, and it says, and we will teach you to go within and find that answer. Well, they're all going to teach us how to go within and find the answer. And that's a wonderful thing, and that's a noble thing, and that's a correct thing. But how is anyone going to teach you to go within? If you think you could go within and get the answer, you already know it all, and you are not a receptive student. You're not a receptant person to be trained to go within. Jesus had 12 disciples, and all 12 were a bunch of flakes. None of them could do anything that Jesus taught them to do. He taught them to go out and teach and preach and heal and raise the dead and all that good stuff. And they said, Master, we cannot do it. Show us how again, but we cannot do it. Why couldn't they do it? Because they felt that being in the presence of the master teacher, that they could do anything he could do. But the minute they were out of his presence, they couldn't do it. Now, they're going to have to carry that presence of the master teacher with them wherever they go to be successful. Or they're going to have to learn to use the same technique that the master teacher uses. And he too goes within. He listens to the presence within. Did he not tell us 100 million times, and I know of one time at least, that go to your Father who seeth in secret, and your Father reward you openly? Mm-hmm. Did he not say, the presence and the power, God is within you? God is within every being, every man? Did he not say, it's done unto you according to your belief and your way of looking at it? Now you say, Herb, you sure are getting religious here. No. I'm just saying that this is the religious field. Now, what did Muhammad say about this? The same thing. He did the same thing. He listened within and he wrote the magical words that he presented. I mean, he's a master of writing, that's for sure. And just remember, it was all done in a quill, in ink, no computer, no speaking it or anything else. Now, what about our great psychologists, our great philosophers? What about these great men? We can name them all, and I mean them all. And what do they tell you? Man, know thyself. So, we have to know ourselves if we're going to get any place. And these people, these great and wonderful teachers, they give you the pitch to come on. And just like Jesus said to his disciples, come, I'll teach you to be fisher of men. And they go, hey, cool, that's interesting, you know, that'd be interesting. You know, where can you sell them? I don't know, but to get them, I guess, that's one thing. But he did. He taught them to be fishers of men. Now, backing up to our dearly beloved Presidente Obama, what is there about Obama that instantaneously turns you on? What is it there about Obama's wife that instantaneously, and his kids, that instantaneously turn you on? They instantaneously turn you on. They have magic about them. They have charisma about them. And what is that charisma? Tell me.
I like you.
They like themselves. They like themselves. Now, can you say the same thing about yourself under all circumstances? Good question, isn't it? If you can, then you've got everything they got and more because it's yours. Okay, now, they like themselves. What is it about the great leaders? You think Jesus liked himself? I think so. Do you think Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, do you think any of these great philosophers liked themselves? Do you think that the great mathematicians liked themselves? Do you think the great leaders of nations liked themselves? Think about it. What did they do? They said, we're going to do it. This is our program and we're going to do it. And they got the information from where? From within themselves. They believed in themselves. They had belief and charisma and they had conviction. And then they followed it. Now, can we do that? Sure. These wonderful teachers that are doing their great things, what do they have? Charisma. You go to hear them talk and you say, wow, are they good? Wow, do they have great ideas? Wow, I want... And they're not good. They don't have great ideas. Really. I'm not trying to be funny. They are not good and they don't have... If they were good and they had great ideas, what would they do? They would use them for themselves. they would become like an Obama. And everyone would just take to them and just want them and follow them and listen to them. They become like a Jesus Christ with a charisma. What was it that Einstein did? Einstein, he alienated people as often as possible. But he was so brilliant and so charismatically brilliant and so wonderful. No matter what the question was, he had time to answer it. No matter who asked the question, the big or the small. And he went to President Roosevelt and he says, hey, this atomic bomb thing, this atomic energy stuff, it's really good, but I really am not in favor of using it for war. I don't recommend it, because it's only going to bring unhappiness to you. Well, it shortened the war, but because it was used in a negative way first, everybody wanted to get a copy of it and use it as a negative war first. And that's unfortunate. Now, if Roosevelt had instead used it for power plants, and he'd used it for the energy plant and the energy source, you know, right away, wow, all the other nations in the world would want to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. What do we read about France? 70% of the energy, the power in France, comes from what?
Nuclear
power plants, not windmills, but nuclear power plants. 70%. And 18% in the United States, something like that. But yeah. far less. But isn't that great? Now, is France in danger of having their nuclear power plants go out of line? No. Russia had a couple of them go out of line, but merely because there's an instability someplace in their power plant. But why is it that France doesn't report any problems? Have you heard anything from France? I didn't even know they had all the power plants. And in the United Kingdom, they have it. In all the nations of the world, all the big nations of the world, they have nuclear power plants. Now, the United States, some people say, don't. But it takes leadership to go over the naysayers and accomplish this. And it will be accomplished. It is a simple thing. The thing is, our nuclear energy is coming from, you might say, the wrong source. Where could the nuclear energy come from?
From the sun.
From the sun. We merely have to learn how to convert the sun's energy into an energy for the source of energy, of power. Mm-hmm. And to utilize it. Now, we do utilize it with the solar cells and with batteries and so forth, but that's a nominal way of looking at it. We want a bigger way. Now, inspire our radical thinkers to go out and see new ways of capturing the solar power and using it with the forcefulness of solar energy, with the forcefulness of atomic energy. It can be done. Now, who's got the answer? Each one of us has that answer. Who's going to reveal the answer? Whoever decides that they're going to play with that game. And they'll do it. And they'll come up with these things. Well, now, all of these wonderful metaphysical speakers who are at conventions in the next period of time are all pitching their own way of looking at life. And to a degree, their way of looking at life is good. But I feel there's one mistake each one is making. If you start with the right premise, you follow to the right conclusions. And the right premise is all is here and now. They are looking at reincarnation. They are looking at being born again. They are looking at using energy from outside sources. They are using all sorts of ways of listening to ways of thinking that are limiting, you know. And we are unlimited. We're unlimited. we want to open up our inner door and our outer door so that they are freely flowing back and forth with all the knowledge. But, what did I say a moment ago? Here and now. Here and now. Here and now. There is no tomorrow. There is no reincarnation. All of the lifetimes that we're living right now. We just interpret it as being a future time. The future is right now. That's why we have the ability to know what the future is going to bring, because the future is right now. It's right now. It's on another level of awareness, on another level of consciousness. Every level of consciousness that we are on is another dimension. And that dimension, it exists right now. And the scientific community, why should we blame them? But the scientific community tell us that that's so. That the here is the here and the now is the now, and that there is no otherness. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There is no time. All is right now. When you think of magic, you think, hey, Ellen, tell me, what was it like on the day that you got married? Was the weather pleasant? Schnellbe?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Was the weather pleasant?
Yes.
Was it sunny?
Yes.
And were all happy people gathered around you?
Yes.
Was it a good feeling?
Yes.
Now, when did that happen? How many thousand years ago?
Now.
But you see, the thing is, you remember it from there. But there is no there. That there is now as you are thinking about it. But you want to say it's then. You want to say it's on a particular date and on a particular time of the day and with a particular city and a particular country and not this country, not this city, not this time, not this day. How silly, you know? And science is merely confirming what we really know in our hearts, that all time is here and all space is here. So now, with a little bit of sugar makes a medicine go down. With a little bit of charisma, we can accomplish anything in town. So it's just up to us to do whatever we want to do. And with a little charisma, a little bit of pizzazz, a little bit of imagination, a little bit of excitement, we can accomplish anything we want to accomplish. Now, this is not me talking. This is the universe talking. This is every thinking scientist, every thinking philosopher, every thinking psychologist, every thinking theologian, every thinking being in the universe talking, saying the same thing right now. All time and space are here. So now let's live now. Let's live here. And let's demonstrate all that we choose in our mind right now, and it's done. It's exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's what it's all about. And we don't have to go and hear these wonderful speakers. I'm sure they would inspire each one of us. Oh, we'd be all fired up about what they were talking about and all the neat stuff they were talking about until the third paragraph. And then they'd say, and it's inside of you. Well, gosh, I could have stayed home on that. Yes, you could. But it's good. It's fun to go, you know. How many people gathered for the inauguration of Mr. Obama?
Wow.
Millions. Millions of people in this. How many could be close to him? Virtually none, you know. And how many dances did he go to afterwards, you know? Mm-hmm. He went to all these different balls in his honor. And wow, you know, 2 years before, he would never dreamed that he would be so honored, you know. And the party never realized that he would be there either. And I think that's all the charming things. We don't know 1 minute to the next what's coming up in our life. So what we do is we keep it all in the here and the now. I am brilliant. I am a genius. I am happy. I am here and now. Be myself and have fun. So join with me in this gala activity of the inauguration of each of us as we wake up to the fact that we are number one here and now.
Nice.
Have fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.